Fanon Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh, yes, hello. Welcome, welcome, one and all. It's a beautiful October the 25th, 2023. I've learned that on our 10-day forecast here in Austin, Texas, we're expecting to go from today's high is 28 with a low of 22. We're going to go down to 6. Oh, yeah, that's right, boys. Sorry about that. I got excited and breathed in while I was trying to swallow. But, yes, that's right. We've got a big cold front coming through. Going to drop our temperature in Fahrenheit. We'll be down in the 40s, which is cold for us here in the central of Texas. We might get, it'll be cold for a little while at least. Traditionally, we have a few false winters in Texas, so it'll get cold, and then we'll have a warm front, and then it'll get cold again. We'll see how it goes. But for now, hey, beautiful. Making my way to the new shady spot here, up on the other roof. I'm looking down on what used to be the Sun Microsystems building for, maybe the first decade I worked here. It was the Sun Microsystem building, and then it was the Oracle building for a little while. And now, it's just an empty building. Lots of heavy trucks coming in on the backside, though. I think there's an event happening towards the end of the month. I think they're all getting ready for it. shout out to everybody in Comm hanging out with us today, Stug and Ratsu, Thrig, WX Boss, and Handy C. With a reminder, if you want the temperature to be higher, just measure everything in Kelvin. So there we go. We'll ask Siri to do that at some point in the future. Yeah, for now, yeah, nice and windy up here on the roof. But the wind is coming from the opposite direction. Well, it's the same direction. I'm oriented oppositely. So now my beard is actually providing the windsock performance I'd hoped it would on the other roof. Quentin in the house. Welcome, welcome. Beautiful scene you paint. Counterpoint. People are allowing themselves to be corralled into a handful of sights. Oh, I don't know what's going on. I missed it. That's fine. It's time for news. It's a wonderful day. There's so much death and destruction. If we have time, we'll get to Gaza and the horrible stuff going on there. Israel really showing that you can go from the victim of a horrible thing to the perpetrator of it in one lifetime. All you got to do is have somebody who didn't suffer through it. Boom. Now you got trouble. Anyway, it's a real tragedy what's going on over there. But let's not weigh down on that just yet. Let's start with an update. Update sound. Off-duty pilot accused of trying to crash the Alaska jet. Yeah, so the guy that was in the cockpit and was like, oh, we gotta shut it down. The off-duty pilot said he thought he was having a nervous breakdown. Joseph David Emerson told police he had taken psychedelic mushrooms and that he had been depressed. He pleaded not guilty to 83 counts of attempted murder on Tuesday. He was sitting in the cockpit of the flight behind the captain when the alleged incident occurred on Sunday. Mr. Emerson told the pilots, I am not okay, before reaching for the shutoff handles. Had he been successful, a fire suppression system used to fight blazes in the jet engines would have been activated and cut off the fuel. The criminal complaint states that one pilot said he had to wrestle Mr. Emerson until he stopped resisting and was ushered out of the cockpit. The entire incident lasted about 90 seconds. After being subdued, oh wow, that heavy truck just is leaving again. Could not have possibly dropped anything off. criminal complaint states that one pilot said he had to wrestle him to the ground. then they have a recording of the 911 call. But yeah, pilot took mushrooms and then got in the cockpit of a plane. Not a good mix. Do not take psychedelic mushrooms and then try and fly an airplane. You should probably not be within reach of any powerful controls like that, for sure. let's see what we got here. Thrig, New York Times made it so you need to press space 35 times to get to the content. Wow. but Google just sends everyone to the same sites. Okay. Sorry. There's some discussion going on, and I keep picking it up. My bad. Bow, bow, bow. All right. Now it's time for the death and destruction, and the really sad, horrible death and destruction. First, a 4-year-old Aussie boy died trying to shield his baby brother and sister in a garden shed blaze. A fire broke out at home in a suburb in Australia. 4-year-old Isaac McGregor's first instinct was to use his tiny body to shield his brother and sister. Sadly, despite his heroic effort, his brother and 18-month-old sister died at the scene. Rescuers took Isaac and his 6-year-old sister Mavis to hospital. But while Mavis was still in intensive care for severe burns, a close friend of the family announced on the donor site GoFundMe that Isaac had grown his wings and reunited with his baby brother and sister. Isaac was burned on 80% of his body. The fire broke out on Sunday at the home of in southwest of Melbourne. The children were playing inside a garden shed when a couch there caught fire. The mom rushed towards the shed when she noticed smoke wafting inside her home. She smelled flames and ran out there. The couch was on fire. She had to move the couch to pull the kids out, and they couldn't get their way out because it was engulfed in flames. The father says that the mom dragged Mavis first while Isaac had the other two huddled under him so they wouldn't burn. He said Isaac was thought to have died at the scene, but rescues managed to revive him. So there you go. Pretty terrible. If any of them had survived, they would have been horribly traumatized. So I guess that's the silver lining. Really terrible. Very, very terrible. You don't have to be 4-year-old to die or to get abused. You can also be in prison. These next couple stories are about abuse and sexual abuse and forced assault. So if those are things that bother you or that might trigger you, just a warning ahead of time, we're going to be talking about those things for the next couple of stories. So you might need to give us, I don't know, 5 or 10 minutes. All right. One prison guard, 96 abuse charges. Women say a serial rapist targeted them over a decade. On May 15, 2022, Gregory Rodriguez, a guard at the Central California Women's Facility, ordered a 30-year-old woman in his custody to come to a hearing room. He told her there were no cameras in the room, prison investigators allege, and gave her a choice. She could have sex with him or get a write-up for a rules violation, risking a lengthened prison term, revoked privileges, and solitary confinement. He proceeded to rape her, the investigators say, and would go on to assault her at least on 5 more occasions. She's one of more than 22 women he's suspected of harassing, assaulting, and raping over the span of nearly a decade. The former officer, who has pleaded not guilty to 96 abuse charges, is now in jail awaiting trial. The case has raised an urgent question: how could one officer be accused of abusing so many women over so many years without getting caught? An analysis of court records and misconduct data, as well as interviews with 5 women who spoke to The Guardian, paint a picture of a system in which the most vulnerable women are routinely preyed upon, offered lured with promises of basic supplies and small privileges, and then threatened into silence. This is awful. No one will believe you is a common thing. The story goes on and on, but just in general, women's prison is a terrible, prison in general is a terrible place to be. But the United States especially thinks that prison should be this extra horrible punitive thing. It's just a real sadness, real tragedy. I feel real bad for that, for the at least 96 people that this one guy did. There's thousands of prisoners and there's thousands of guards and millions of prisoners in the U.S. So, but you don't have to be a prison guard to rape vulnerable women. You can also be a doctor. Nigerian doctor Olale sentenced to life imprisonment for rape. A Nigerian court has sentenced a medical director to life in prison for raping his wife's teenage niece. He is reported to have sexually assaulted the girl for more than a year until his wife found out and informed police. He was arraigned in November last year on two counts of rape between December 2019 and July 22nd, when the girl went to live with their family. During the trial, the doctor's wife said she discovered the abuse after the girl told her aunt and the family's driver. The girl, now 18, said the doctor had been sleeping with her and had issued death threats if she told anyone. He was also accused of forcing her to watch pornography. Six witnesses, the girl, the defendant's wife, a doctor, a child care expert, and two police officers testified in the trial. The doctor testified in his own defense, alongside a forensic physician who faulted the medical evidence presented by the prosecution. The justice described the medical director of Optimal Cancer Care Foundation as a dangerous offender who did not show any sign of regret. In his plea for leniency, the doctor's lawyer asked the state to recognize his services as a cancer doctor and that he was a first-time offender. But the judge dismissed the plea and said that he should be confined to prison for a long period of time as proof of the justice system and their frowning at sexual violence. He also ordered the doctor to be added to the Lagos State Sex Offenders Register. So, while it's an assault story, I thought it was good to tell because this doctor got sentenced to life. And it's kind of funny because it shows a stark difference between the U.S. and other countries and how they view sexual assault and women in general. I don't know. It's very weird because they've got some very strange, very anti-LGBTQ laws. And I don't know. I don't know if it's a patriarchal thing or what. But hey, let's check in on Calm and see what's going on over here. One thing I haven't heard about this story is whether or not the beverage and snack cart had already been around prior to... Oh, this is for the radio... the guy. And Quentin's saying, fuck all of this. Yeah, exactly. So anyway, these are terrible stories, but hey, you know what? With all the craziness going on in the world right now, these are the kind of stories that, like, you won't see or hear. So it's kind of like, hey, these are... extra pieces of information for you. In Minnesota, we're back now. So if you were away, you can come back. If you were away, come on back. Yeah, it's okay. It's safe now. We're just talking about murder and death and destruction again. A poison specialist and former medical resident at the Mayo Clinic is charged with fatally poisoning his wife, a 32-year-old pharmacist who died days after she went to hospital with stomach distress. Authorities say he tried to stop the autopsy on his wife, arguing she would be cremated immediately and claiming she had a rare illness, which hospital tests didn't confirm. The medical examiner's office halted the order for cremation, citing suspicious circumstances. And she had died from toxic effects of colchicine, a medicine used to treat gout. He murdered her. Medical records indicate she was not diagnosed with gout and had not been prescribed the medicine. The complaint states, adding that Connor Bowman had been researching the drug prior to his wife's death. 6 days before she was hospitalized, he had also calculated the amount of colchicine needed for a lethal dose for a person of his wife's weight. He was charged on Monday with second-degree murder. He was arrested on Friday and is in custody on Tuesday. His attorney didn't immediately respond to a request for a comment. So, that is just more death, more destruction. A harmacist. That's a good pun, Quentin. Good job. Hey, X1. You know what, Handy C? That's right. Hey, Barth. Welcome, welcome. You're here in time. And Merman, you guys are here in time for news to me. If there were snacks, I think things would be a lot better. Maybe that's what I'll do. I was thinking about that. I need to go, once I get my car back from the shop, I'm going to go to the... I'm going to go to the Indian grocery store and buy up a whole bunch of snacks. They have, what is it called? The soybean. There's like puffed up soybeans and there's a few other things that like are crunchy, salty snacks that I really like at the Indian grocery store. Alrighty. Well, let's keep it moving. We got other death and destruction to talk about. Nashville's police chief's son. Update sound. Oh, look, a rain cloud is floating over me. Give me little drops of rain. I wonder if it's going to keep dropping rain or if I can do the news. Nashville police chief's son wanted in the shooting of two officers found dead. The estranged son of Nashville's police chief, who was wanted in the shooting of two police officers, was found dead of a self-inflicted gunshot wound after leading police on a chase in a stolen car. Nashville police chief issued a statement on Wednesday thanking officers for working to locate his son. Metro Nashville police spokesman Don Aaron said in the news conference on Tuesday night that the younger Drake had stolen a car at gunpoint from a home southeast of downtown. And he asked a man and woman in front of a home for a ride. And when they're unable or unwilling to give him a ride, he pulled out a gun and demanded the car in the driveway. So that goes to show you, if somebody comes to your house asking for a ride, question number one, do you have a gun? Anyway, very sad. He stole the car, then he killed himself. So let's talk about stuff that's not so sad. I guess right now it's 1915 UTC, right here, exactly in the middle. So let's talk about, I'm walking to the other side of the shady spot. There's another spot to sit. Oh, look, there's no wind over here. All right, we're almost there. Oh, look, and I can see the pond, the retention pond. All right, this spot is so much more comfortable than the other parking garage. I might just live here now. It is unfortunate because this is not a good hiding spot. I can see 4 different floors of different buildings. 5, I guess, if you count that other one. 5 different floors could see me. And let's see, 15 unique offices have a direct, I could make eye contact with them. So anyway, sorry. It's 1916 UTC, so let me just remind you, in 14 minutes, we've got the Dubious Gold from the Otobe, a fun show that airs every goddamn day right here on and on radio at 1930 UTC. Oh man, it is such a good show. It's a lot of fun. There's marmots and dudes. There's puppets sometimes, watercolor, art, soft crafts. Sometimes we even get there'll be letters that come in from friends. Sometimes the emeritus is around. Other days it's like Taco Tuesday or time to go to the Greek restaurant. You know, you never know what you're gonna get. And if you listen to the Dubious Goals Committee regularly and just think real hard about what you want in life, it'll come true. I really wanted to see some dudes. Boom. What do you know? Raccoon right there in the yard. It's a magical time. So just listen to Dubious Goals Committee. If you have ingrown toenails or if you've got a hangnail, maybe if your turtle is sick, does your car make noise when it starts? All of these things can be solved by listening to the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe right here at 1930 UTC. Cruise driverless cars. Let's see if we got here. Oh, fart can muffler adjacent. Let's see. Oh, look, we got snacks. I have 1 gigaliter of booze, but no salty peanuts. Aw. Let's see. Termitomyces. This mushroom marinated hot pepper oil. Hot pepper oil in general, I like a lot. It's delicious. Okay, sorry. Let's get into it. We got a lot of science stories to talk about. Maybe Publius will show up and give us some corrections. You never know. Cruise driverless cars have been suspended after an accident. This is in California. They're still flooding the streets here in Austin. Ooh, look at that. I can see a pig right there. He is driving, I don't know, a mile an hour. Nope, he has stopped, 30 yards from the stop sign. No apparent reason. Oh, look at that. Now he's going. Sometimes I think cops just like to harass the citizenry. You never know. Better than killing them, I guess. Anyway, the State Department of Motor Vehicles cited safety concerns, claiming the company had misrepresented what had happened after the incident. The company is one of two firms that's been allowed to provide taxi trips with driverless cars. Cruise said in a statement it would be pausing operations. Driverless taxis, sometimes called autonomous vehicles, are common in San Francisco to the amazement of tourists, chagrin of people that live there, and fire departments. As the name suggests, there's no driver. Critics say the vehicle's safety hasn't been established. On October 2nd, a pedestrian was struck and then propelled into the path of a Cruise car. According to Cruise, the car detected a collision and stopped. It then attempted to pull over to avoid causing further road safety issues, pulling the individual forward approximately 20 feet. During the course of performing the hard braking maneuver, the AV collided with and ran over the pedestrian. After coming to a complete stop, the AV vehicle subsequently attempted to perform a pullover maneuver while the pedestrian was underneath the vehicle. The DMV then accuses Cruise of misrepresenting what happened. That's one of the things that's really important to remember is anytime anybody is telling you something, consider why they're telling you this and who they are. If the company that's selling the product is telling you about it, then you know what's going on. So anyway, just a heads up there. All right, what else is happening? Well, other cool stuff, not just regulatory hubbub. Ancient rock carvings were revealed by receding Amazon waters amid a drought. Human faces and other figures believed to be up to 2,000 years old were exposed as the Brazil River hits record lows. What does that mean? Researchers estimate the markings to be between 1,000 and 2,000 years old. Carvings had previously been sighted during a severe drought in 2010 when the Rio Negro's water levels dropped to 13.63 meters, which was an all-time low. They reemerged this month with more markings appearing as the water receded further. Amid an unusually dry season, which scientists attribute to El Nino, the Rio Negro has dropped below 13 meters for the first time ever, with a depth of 12.89 meters recorded on Monday. As well as anthropomorphic faces and depiction of water, some rocks display grooves that suggest the site was also used to produce stone tools. Carlos Augusto da Silva of the Federal University of Amazonas identified 25 groups of carving on a single rock, which he believes were used to sharpen as a whetstone and various instruments. This was an area for the preparation of tools, the archaeologist told Amazonia Real. So, very cool. I love history. Archaeology is just so cool. Anthropology, I guess. Old civilizations. Very cool. Not cool? Jumping off of a river on a dare. A teenager has gone missing after jumping into New York's East River for a dare. I missed this story, so it's in the wrong spot. But anyway, Kavion Brown Godfrey, 13, was last seen treading water in the East River on Friday before a witness saw him being swept away by a current. I don't have any idea why he would have gone into the water. That's something I just can't think about, said his mother. I've been going through hell. I can't sleep, I can't think, I can't eat, and I want my son. His parents explained that the teenager was supposed to be at a soccer game under the supervision of a school basketball coach when the incident happens. They said that he was the star player on the basketball team, and his coach had invited him and other team members to go and support the soccer team. His mother told the New York Post that she had only spoken to Kavion, described as 6'3", that afternoon before he went missing. So, yeah, he jumped in there on a dare from his friends and then got washed away. So, probably not going to find him alive. Let's see. Unpopular opinion from Quentin. Driverless cars are not perfect, but in my experience, they drive better than the average driver. You know, it's not that they drive poorly when they're operating. It's that humans' interaction with driverless cars is really bad. You kind of need an all-or-nothing kind of approach, which I don't think is going to happen. The other fun part, here in Austin, a couple months ago, maybe a month or so ago, we had a great traffic incident where like 30 Cruise vehicles all were called by some glitch or something, but like 30 of them all went to this one neighborhood and it clogged up the entire neighborhood. It was just dozens of these cars all with their blinkers on, all with their hazard lights on, all just trapped. And they clogged up the entire neighborhood. And if there'd been a fire or any kind of urgent event, those people would have just died because they were trapped. So yeah, just get rid of the humans. See you later, Jeff. Thanks for coming by, swinging it through. All right, what else is happening? Well, lots of stuff, but let me tell you about one that I thought was kind of pretty cool. Creation of a rare heavy element witnessed in a neutron star collision. What kind of future are we living in? That's right. Astronomers have witnessed the creation of rare heavy elements in the aftermath of a violent collision between two neutron stars that were booted out of their home galaxy about a billion light years away. The cataclysmic explosion unleashed a burst of gamma rays more than a million times brighter than the Milky Way and blasted material into space that formed the rare element tellurium, T-E-L-L-U-R-I-U-M, and others known as actinides and lanthanides. Those are like your radioactive elements. The more common elements, iodine and thorium, are also thought to have been forged in the event. This is the first time such a cosmic spectacle known as a kilonova has been observed with the James Webb Space Telescope, which enables astronomers to identify the elements produced in the collision by their infrared signatures. The work, published in Nature, shows that while many elements are produced by the fusion of lighter elements in the cores of stars, some heavier elements are born in the more energetic environment of neutron stars slamming into one another. For the first time ever, we have evidence of these particular kind of elements being formed in these mergers. It's 150 years since we've had the periodic table completed, and we still don't know where a good number of the elements come from. One of those things we're trying to do is fill in the gaps. So I just think that's super freaking cool. KB Nova or KIB Nova? formed the rare element, I tell you what. Nice, nice. Candy C went to my university's astronomy department and told everybody I'm a Scorpio, but they were not impressed. HPC for the most part. Oh, okay, cool. Where did my closing go? Oh, closing quote. Yeah, I don't know. So anyway, that's very cool. I just thought that was super cool. That is the kind of science news that I like. Now here's some science news I don't like. So I don't know why I didn't think that this was a thing, but AI and AI image tools. Yeah, people are using those for adult images, sure. But get this. The Internet Watch Foundation said images of a well-known female singer reimagined as a child are being shared by predators. On one dark web forum, the charity says images of child actors are also being manipulated to make them sexual. Hundreds of images of real victims of child sexual abuse are now being created using bespoke image generators. The details come from the IWF's latest report into the growing problem as it tries to raise awareness about the dangers of pedophiles using AI systems and create images from simple text instructions. Since these powerful image generation systems entered the public domain, researchers have warned they could be used to generate illicit images. In May, Home Secretary Suella Braverman and U.S. Homeland Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas issued a joint statement committing to tackling the alarming rise in despicable AI-generated image of children being sexually exploited by pedophiles. IWF's report details how research spent a month logging AI imagery on a single darknet child abuse website and found nearly 3,000 synthetic images that would be illegal under UK law. Pretty wild stuff. I hadn't even thought about that. It's like, oh yeah, it's just wild because these people get busted with like terabytes and terabytes of images and video. If they set up Stable Diffusion or something like that, and then just fed it all of their images, they could just artificially, synthetically generate so much more content. It's just unbelievable. And then you could just be like, oh, but make it look like a celebrity. I don't know. It's just weird. It's strange. It's like, I don't want to see, it's like hard enough to imagine like seeing all these deep fakes with like people like the president. It's like seeing Barack Obama's head, like one of the videos I recently saw, it's like Barack Obama's head on the body of like some lady rapper rapping about his body or her body, but in his voice and his head on the body. And it was like, that was weird to me. That was like, ugh. And then it'd be even weirder if it was like, oh wait, hold on. It's a little kid version of Barack Obama's head on a little kid version of some girl. Anyway, I don't want to think about it anymore. There were several images that failed law, meaning they depicted abuse. More than one in five of the images were classified as Category A, the most serious kind. And 143 images depicted children aged 3 to 6. And 2 images depicted babies under 2 years old. Horrible. Gross. Anyway, that's all the time we got today. Please listen to the Dubious Goals Committee and all the cool news coming, all the radio shows today. On and on radio.
Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee was.
Oh, yeah. Cinesphere is coming up at 2100 hours. And UserFXNet lit up on Linux at 00, followed by Special Ed.